Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
How can Nottingham Forest come up from the Championship and have a different set of parameters to teams that are in the Premier League? How can teams expect to change the landscape if they're not allowed to spend money? I think they're tying themselves up in a knot. Okay, you want sustainability. I'll tell you what you do. You get these clubs that want to spend inordinate amounts of dough to put up big bonds of a billion. Okay, put £1 billion up. There are better ways to do what they're doing. Welcome to another episode of Simon and Souness.
Take
557. I want to start this week by talking about Newcastle United, one of your old sides, and specifically for a start this season, because the successes of last are what they are. But what have you made of this season?
I think you have to start off by saying that last year they were absolutely fantastic, overachieved possibly. You know, you are not going to want that where they finished last year, but to follow that was always going to be difficult.
You overachieve, Gray? I mean, don't you just do what you do? I mean, is it fair to categorise it?
Because it sets you up for the following season. People expect you to go one better.
Right. And so the consequences of doing well is that people will make the observation that you overachieve when really you've just done well.
And I've been at Newcastle and there's an enormous
expectation
there. So they give them a little taste of it and they were fabulous last year, but they've not managed to follow that up. Why have they not done that? Listen, you have to analyse. The manager won't be doing anything different. Yeah. He'll be talking to them in the same way. The training will be the same. He'll be trying to get them to do the same things that they were doing before. The travel arrangements will be the same. Nothing's changed from the manager and what he's doing with a group of players. So then it has to come back on the players. Injuries certainly impact. And then when the modern game is all about this high press, intensity of the football. And if it drops off by half a yard, it doesn't work. But it doesn't work.
Is it?
And I think it's a couple of those two things I'd point to. They're not as intense and injuries have damaged them.
Is that not a case, though? I mean, it falls into territory of asking the question about Eddie Howe and what he's done in terms of what he did last year against what he's doing this year. But is it also not just a simple fact that they had an element of people not expecting certain things from Newcastle? They called a momentum last year, which isn't the same. And in fact, that actually other sides might have worked them out just a tad.
No, it's not. There's no secret to how people play today. You know, you can analyse the team you're playing because there's so much football on television today. Your analyst can pick up everything the team's played in the last 4 weeks, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, whatever's relevant. And I just think it's more to do with the players not being so intense and injuries of damage.
Shall I tell you why I say it? I'll tell you why I say it, because it's popped into my head and it's going to pop out of my trap now. When Leicester won the Premier League, right, they played a certain way, which was Jamie Vardy on the shoulder, Danny Drinkwater got his head up, hit him behind, away they went. Yet for the whole season...
Everyone
allowed them to do it.
Everyone said they can't do that against us. They won't do that against us, and they did.
But they then adjusted.
The big teams
and then Leicester the following season found
the big teams en masse had a bad year.
Right.
By their own standards.
So that doesn't equate back to what Newcastle are doing, which is finding their level.
You're going to be happy with what I'm going to say here. If you imagine that table's a cake, right?
Yeah.
So Newcastle have so much income coming in, that's a cake.
The largest, what kind of cake?
The monetary cake. That's a dosh.
Not a blancmange or something
like that. No. This is a serious cake. That cake there is what income Newcastle have generated.
Right.
Who takes by far the biggest slice of it?
The players?
Yes. The players take it. So right. That big chance. So this is, I know this is a, a beef for you. So Newcastle, for me, has suffered. There's a lot of money coming to Newcastle, but they're having to pay the going rate for the players.
An inflated rate.
An inflated rate, which is a going rate at every football club. They're no different to anyone else.
To draw them up there?
Just to employ them. Everyone gets paid too much in football. You think that, I think that.
Yeah.
So the players are getting so much of that cake that they can't have a big squad to accommodate injuries and people loss of form throughout the year.
Is that any different from Aston Villa then?
No, that's the problem. Now, you've got the teams that qualify for the Champions League all the time, who can afford to carry big squads, and then you've got that group just outside them who aspire to be in that group, but they can't really afford to carry the big squad that the teams who are in the Champions League all the time, and Man United, who are obviously super rich.
Do you think then, by the qualification of the...
So the point I want to make, pay the players from that cake less, and you could afford
but
more
you
players.
But you won't get them then.
But you can't, because that's the going rate for
Because of
them.
The market itself. So do we come to the conclusion, or do you come to the conclusion, that Eddie Howe overachieved last year, or is underachieving this year, or are they just mutually exclusive?
No, I think it is... They overachieved last year with that group of players.
So are they at their level now?
I think they're better than what they've shown this year.
So they've overachieved 1 year, they're underachieving the second.
Yeah, and then the reasons for underachieving this year, injuries have killed them. And the intensity of which you're asking these guys to play every single week.
Doesn't help them, did it, with the situation with him being banned
and Wilson being injured.
Yeah.
Tonelli getting his ban. Things have conspired against them.
Where do you think the owners might likely be with Eddie Howe? I've said on a number of occasions that it's not meant to be mean-spirited, and it's certainly not meant to be disrespectful. Because I, despite what you may believe, I don't like talking about people getting a sack. Mm. Right? But I think you've got to call things for what they are. I don't think Eddie Howe will take the Saudi ownership to where I think they want to go. Mm. They didn't buy a football club so they can sit in the background and watch other parts of the league win things and other Middle Eastern ownership continue to excel. They've obviously bought it, in my view, to win something. I don't think that Eddie Howe is going to get them to the promised land. I think he's going to be a very valuable part of the achievements that Newcastle will have to get there. So what I'm saying is, do you think that the owners of Newcastle, given that we think they overachieved one season, potentially there's a tad underachievement and there's reasons behind it, do you think they'll stay faithful with Eddie, and would you suggest that they should?
I would suggest they should, but whether they do or not, I would doubt.
You doubt?
Yeah.
In the short term?
Yeah, not short term. You'll certainly be... Is it a conversation they would have had? I'm not so sure, because they'll see the injuries they've had. The Tonali one is embarrassing for the people who made the decision and didn't do the due diligence on him.
Difficult though, Graham, in fairness to them. Unless you're going to put a clause into a player's contract to say, can you make a declaration that says you've got problems in your personal life?
But
ain't going to know.
That would have been an open secret in Italy. But he's gambling.
You know that because of your experiences of Italy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, people have known about that. So that was unfortunate. Let's put a polite term. That was an unfortunate thing that happened to him. The injuries came along. I hope they have a sympathetic view on where they see their manager, because he did so well for them. He's got people in the city on side. They like him. And he's good with the press. So I say they should be fair, but is there any fairness in football? We know there isn't.
No.
I'd be disappointed for him if he got
sacked at the end of this year. I think if he has another year...
Oh, definitely. If he has another difficult year and not making progress next year, then he's in jeopardy.
Mm.
That's how I would see it. But that's any big football club, isn't it?
Okay.
Where are the Premier League with profit and sustainability laws?
Where are they?
In your opinion.
I think they're tying themselves up in a knot. I think the best intentions... And where are they in relation to Newcastle? It's a challenging one, because we've got a league that we want loads of people to invest in, and we don't want the money to go elsewhere. And where do you want it to be? Would you rather have it in your league? And then you've got the other side of the argument, which is the damaging effect of uncontrolled expenditure causes a filter-down effect which impoverishes everybody else. I, from the outset, I don't know where you were on it, as a former owner, I was like, give me some controls, because I can help me save myself from myself. Whoop. You know, so I'm not going to have to, I can turn to the fans and say, I can't spend this dough because I'm not allowed to. So there's a part of me...
Good news.
...that thought it was good news. There's also another part of me at the time that would have absolutely categorically have gone, do one, I run my business and you run yours, right?
If you were a Man United.
No, I remember it, at Palace, I remember sitting there having to comply with certain regulations, going, why do I have to listen to a bunch of faceless bureaucrats?
What a regulator do to that?
Hiding in the Football League.
What a if a regulator came into our game?
Well, when, not if.
What will happen?
Well, it depends how much powers they're allowed to have, and depends how much of it's window dressing.
Who decides that power, the levels of power?
Well, the government are introducing it at this moment in time. They're currently introducing a white paper which suggests that they've got certain things like the ability to intercede on if the Premier League don't do a deal with the EFL, then there's a backstop. Now, we've heard backstops all through Brexit and the border of the Northern Ireland Sea and all that sort of but the point is it gives them some teeth. So there'll be a deal done. But where I am with it is I've changed my view. And not completely. I think there's got to be some governance. There's got to be some controls. There's got to be some form of regulation. Not too much. But I'm also on the other side of it is, how can Nottingham Forest come up from the Championship and have a different set of parameters to teams that are in the Premier League? They're not allowed to lose the same amount because ultimately they've had 2 years in the Championship of lower losses and expect to stay in the division. How can teams expect to change the landscape relatively quickly if they're not allowed to spend money? You've got to get the balance right. Now, the question should be is, what's the sustainability part of it? Okay, you want sustainability. I'll tell you what you do. You get these clubs that want to spend inordinate amounts of dough to put up big bonds of $1 billion. Okay, put $1 billion up as equity or $1 billion up as a bond. And how about you change the rules to make sure that if people want to spend more money, there's progressive taxation. So you turn around and say, you want to spend $50 million more than you should do. For every million that you spend, half of that goes in taxation that gets paid down the pyramid. There are better ways to do what they're doing. And that's the reasons why Newcastle probably are... not spending, well, not probably, definitely, because the FFP rules now have suddenly gone from you can have a financial fine to you can have points and none of them want it.
Simon, we saw the impact of these laws on the January window. What impact do you expect on the summer window?
I think they're two different markets, Graham, as you will know as a football manager. Mm. When you bought players in the summer, did you have the same mentality as when you bought them in January?
No.
So it's different, isn't it?
The big deals don't happen in the winter.
Bad deals happen in the winter.
Yeah, people are chasing.
Yeah, and people have got a problem trying to fix decisions. The problem, getting panicky, and executives are getting agents in their room that are going, ka-ching, you look lucky, you can be taken for a few bob here. So I think losing the January transfer window, besides people with yellow ties on Sky Sports making a four-act play out of it.
A fool would do that.
No, who would do that? I know, they're very fool. I think that there'll still be some contrition and some contraction on the transfer market. I still think we'll see big
bundles
being spent.
Bundles. The winter transfer windows are panic buys, I think.
Yeah, business.
Yeah.
Bad business done by people that are in difficult mindsets. And the summer business is people going, what's the future look like? What can I do? I've got more time to think about this. And also, I've got something I'm building towards rather than something I'm trying to salvage. Let's move away from Newcastle and talk about West Ham. Because David Moyes, who I'm a fan of and admire of, I like him as a bloke, and I think he's a thoroughly decent football manager, and I think he's redeemed himself through the challenges that he had with Sociedad, Man United and Sunderland, where I think certainly post the Man United situation there were bad moves for him. He seems to be constantly needing to reclaim some ground with West Ham.
He has to justify himself all the time.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
He's doing more of it recently.
Yeah.
But where are you on David and West Ham and what he's achieved?
Well, I think where his problems arise, I think we've touched on it before. You know, they're playing a brand of football which the West Ham supporters don't particularly enjoy. And if I get this wrong, forgive me, but I think at the time when we spoke about it, they were 8th in the league, but yep. They were 16th in the league in terms of possession. It was along those lines.
Yep.
So that would suggest that they're playing a brand of football where they haven't got the ball a lot, but they were digging results out. Now, that's great. If you're winning games playing a counter-attacking football, you get away with it. West Ham, an element of the West Ham support, are not happy with that.
Do you think that's fair? Given the sides, relegated side almost to a European winning side, to a team that's participating really well in the Europa League, to a team that's in the top 10 of the Premier League.
And I think I'm repeating myself again. You got a job as a manager. Your job is to get the best out of that group of players that you inherit,
right?
And you come up with a way of playing that suits that group to dig results out. And then over a few transfer windows, you're buying players to play your type of football.
Right.
Well, I would suggest that West Ham are still playing the same type of football now as when David got the job at West Ham.
So are you saying that Moyes is not doing enough?
Well, no, that's his way of playing football. And that becomes a decision for the owners and decision makers at West Ham. I know we're getting results. I know we can finish in the top eight. But the supporters are not joining the football. And, you know, it's the devil you know.
Yeah.
Did they change that for someone to come and play front foot football and win games and have more of the ball but get mugged off on a regular basis?
Is there no possibility that you guys as managers can evolve from a philosophy that you've been wedded to for years, right? And it started let me finish the question. They started at Preston because of a certain way that you play and the certain adaptation. You go to Everton, and it's successful Everton because you're knocking on the door of the top clubs without the spend, right? Now you're at a West Ham that's got a history of playing a certain type of football. You know that when you take the job, right? And you're buying players that are capable of doing a little bit more than the original squad that you inherited. So is it not a responsibility of a manager, without losing his mind and losing results, to try to embrace some of the things that now make up, whether we think it's or not, Graham, to make up some of the things that football fans go to football for now, which is not just about winning, but it's winning with a certain style.
Yeah, entertainment. It's an entertainment. Business.
So Moisey's falling short then, isn't he?
Well, that's for the owners to decide.
Yeah, but we're talking about it.
I don't know. Is it 10%? Is it 5% who are unhappy with David Moyes being the manager of West Ham?
It seems to be, every time I open my trap about it and say the similar things that you and I would say, which is, hold on a minute, look where you were. And there's all these cobblers about you won the World Cup.
But that's
and
my argument.
Play. Yeah, we're making the same argument.
No, but my argument, if you're at a club a few years, you're buying players that you want to play your way of playing football. And West Ham are still playing, I think I'm correct in saying, a brand of football that's the same as when David walked in the place.
So, but he must.
And that's unacceptable to 5-10%.
But he must want to play differently. Otherwise, why would he buy Kudos and why would he buy Paqueta and people like that, which are different kinds of players?
Yeah, but they're still not playing any differently, are they?
So it's on David.
That would appear. Yeah, so that's how he wants to play, and that's something the West Ham supporters have to accept, or they make enough noise that he's not there anymore.
I mean, it's difficult. I mean, I would look at it through the prism of. When I was at Palace, there would always be different level and different size of crowds. And if you and I had teamed up, we'd have had some fun, as we've spoken about previously. But I didn't tend to listen to the vociferous minority.
Yeah, I was going to say, what would you do with David Moyes if you were and charge it West Ham?
I would ask him.
You're reading in the room.
Yeah.
A percentage, although it may be a small percentage, of supporters are not happy.
Well, that's what I just said. I didn't tend to listen to the vociferous minority. But I would have a conversation with him. I would say, is there any fairness in their observations? Is there an innate ability? You're my manager, you're my guy, you're my champion. I'm more interested in your opinion than I am in theirs, with due respect, because you're winning me games and you're pushing me up the Premier League and you put me in Europe and you're doing nicely for me and I'm giving you money back to spend on players. Now, is there a question, David or Graham, whoever it was at the time, is it unreasonable for me as an owner to say to you, can we improve certain aspects of the game to make us a bit more entertaining and easy on the eye? And if David Moyes turned around to me and said, well, with due respect, make your decision. What do you want? A flair team that gets you dragged to the bottom of the league because we look better on the ball but actually end up losing games because we're too open? Or by the way, Chairman, you give me a whole bundle of money more and I'll give you better results. It all depends on the conversation, but I'm more likely to say to the manager, I think we're doing okay. And if people don't like it, they'll like it even less if we're sitting in the Championship.
So you would stick with them?
I think so. But that's from the outside
looking
in.
Playing a brand of football that not all your supporters are happy with.
But I'd ask him what his view on it was. And I'd ask him, did he think there was any justification behind it? And I'd ask him about how we evolved, because we are in an entertainment business and I don't want to lose my mind with being over Disney-fied and what people are entitled to see, but I would want to get the balance right. What do you think of talking about getting a balance right? I've made this point about Vincent Kompany, and I think it's wonderfully noble that you come up to the Championship to the Premier League and play the same brand of football. And I think it's incredibly foolish that you go back down with your principles intact and your team in the Championship. What's your takeaway on Kompany?
It's quite simple. If you were to say to the top half of the Premier League, the Burnley manager, Vincent Kompany, is going to phone you on Friday night and he's going to ask you, now, how's it you want us to play against you tomorrow? Everyone would say, well, ask Vincent to roll the ball out from the back and try and play through us. And because we're so good at pressing, we'll keep taking the ball off them in their last third and we'll score goals from it.
Yeah.
Now, I had a season ticket at Bournemouth for a number of years and that was what Bournemouth were.
Did you pay for it?
Of course I paid for it. I paid out of two.
Just asking.
I got two.
Just asking.
And I'm watching this, I'm thinking, what you're basically doing, Eddie, you're taking on Man City, Liverpool, Tottenham, whoever it was, at their game.
Yeah.
This is exactly what they want you to do. And you're going to, so you're basically saying, we're good enough to take you on at your strengths. No. I think Vincent will regret not changing. It's too late from now.
Yeah.
But I think they'll regret just going down the same road of rolling it out,
yeah,
being put under pressure, having a ball taken off them and efforts on their goal.
See, I've watched the same thing. When I watched Burnley v Palace, I thought, wonderful, we've got a 12th man in Burnley. And they commit an act of self-harm in every single game. So yeah. Your analysis is actually better than mine. I say self-harm in every game. You're basically saying, phone me up and give me the team, tell me the way I want to play because it'll help you.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Do you think that's to do with fans and expectations?
No, that's to do with the manager. I think Burnley supporters, Luton supporters, although they're different.
But they're grateful to be there. The reason why I said
any team that gets promoted, the number one aim is to be in that league at the end of the season.
Swansea didn't know, did they? When Swansea went up, I think it was Brendan, wasn't it? They had... Or was it Martinez? One of the two. But they continued to play a certain way. But they stayed up for 5 or 6 years, Graham.
See, I look at Luton. And what happens when Luton get promoted, like Burnley. And on a Monday morning, you turn up for work as a manager, as a player. The place is buoyant. You're in the Championship. The place is buoyant because you're winning nearly every weekend. And this job is easy for the manager then, just more of the same. You know, atmosphere around the place, Monday to Friday, great. On a Saturday, win again, same the following week. When you get promoted and all of a sudden you're getting beat every weekend, it's a very, very different job description for these guys, these managers.
Yeah.
You know, to keep their heads up, you know, have them full of beans.
Yeah.
I look at Luton, and now, you know, we're nearly in April, and Luton are a team that are still full of beans.
Yeah.
They're a bit more direct, a bit more easier to coach, going that way, but you're less vulnerable, as I see it, because you're not risking playing around your own box.
Well, the reason why I asked you the question about where do you think the fans play a part in this and their sense of entitlement about what they're...
Is there any great expectation at Luton?
No,
But there's not.
There's not, because they're a club that's been on a very different journey that's in part owned by the fans, or was at one particular point, and were a club that was in oblivion. Whereas Burnley have been a club that's been in the Premier League for a period of time under Dyche, got relegated, Vincent Kompany changed the style of play for a variety of reasons, got back up again. So they have different expectations.
It was one of them is successful in the Championship, but you're playing against a player in the Championship who doesn't think as quick, can't operate his feet as quick, doesn't move the ball as quick. And then you go up, and we're not talking about 5 yards quicker, half a yard in some cases. The higher you go in the game, the quicker people think, and the quicker they can translate those thoughts into what they're doing with the ball.
But the point I'm making is about fans and their expectation of the style of football that they're prepared to watch, and the fact that they are potentially moving into the territory of being at more worried about what the fact that they...
This is an extension of a conversation like about West Ham.
Yeah, it is.
You know, I don't care what you're doing the first couple of years, just get us to a situation where we're going to survive and we can, kick on from there.
But do you think football's changed in that respect, though? Because I don't remember, and you played in the league side.
It's changed because there's people like us out there. There's lots of people that's out there talking about it.
No, it's changed. Do you think that's changed? Or is it changed? Is it changed because people have watched Man City and have watched that style of football and gone, I'll have some of that and a little bit less of front to back?
Well, give me £1 billion and we'll have a go.
Or back to front, not front to back.
You know what I mean? Well, give me £1 billion and we'll try and play like that. Anyway, can we move on?
Yes.
Do you think it's a good look that the three teams that come up will get relegated and the three teams that come up are the teams that were relegated the year before?
I don't really care either which way.
No,
I think I get tired of people saying the optics of this or that. Right? Well, the optics are half the story.
It's the facts.
Well, just deal with the facts, because there were too many times in society we go, well, the optics of this, so we don't do that. Ipswich have made a massive fist of this season inside the Championship, and if you look at the way they run their football club, and the way they account for things and report for things, and the players they've brought in, and the management that they've got from Kieran McKenna, they're a credit to themselves. Do I think it's a perfect scenario? No, I don't. Do I think it makes a case for people like Rick Parry, who invented parachute payments and now say that parachute payments should be gotten rid of? Yes, I can see that. Do I think it's ideal? No, but it's the reality of the circumstances.
But surely when you created parachute payments, that was inevitable.
No.
Teams that go down to come straight. That was the thinking. The teams that go down should be coming straight back up.
I don't think
that's an enormous advantage.
I don't think that was the thinking. I think
it's an enormous advantage.
I think that's the sort of the circumstances of unintended consequences. I think that's a case of how do we get these teams in the Premier League to have a go so they don't shit the place out and make it look dreadful, and then have some safety when they get down. So if you go up, right, and you go, I tell you what, I'm not going to put any money in. The fans are going to slaughter the owner. The team's going to be crap. The product in the Premier League is going to be
done. They've trousered the money, built a new training ground, got their infrastructure right there and spent it on players.
Got to get the balance right. And I understand that. Luton have gone in with a spirit, and to some extent, they may well prove to be the exception that doesn't explain the rule. But the principle wasn't just to protect people and to keep the cartel of teams going up and down, because there are teams that have broken that cycle. I know they're not as big in numbers as teams going up and down, unfortunately for me, my side, but one of those that disproved that principle, Palace in 2005-2006. But it's more to do with, if you go up, you want to have a go, at least half a go. Mm-hmm. So Luton will have half a go. They've probably increased their wage bill by 20, 30 million quid and probably spent 20, 30 million quid on players.
And they'll drop back down again if they go back in the Championship.
And that's fine, because Luton are grateful to be there right now, and they shouldn't be grateful because they earned it. But if you don't give them parachute payment support, then they go into the division, they stink it out, they drag down the quality, the Premier League suffers as a result of it, and then if they do spend some money and they get relegated, they're in shit if they go down without parachute payments.
There's another upside to it, because the guys at Luton who've done well are in the biggest shot window, and then they become players with inflated price tags that maybe some of the Premier League will buy.
Anyway. Interesting thinking. Right, that's it for episode 15 of Simon and Souness. Look forward to seeing you next time we're out.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be.
Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.